from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage, it's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like there's still plays on the field that me and Lamar, you know, just might have just missed, or, you know, I was off and he expected me somewhere, or I expected it a certain way. So, you know, just harping on those things in practice, hearing it from his perspective, whether he's taking the rep with me or just watching from the sideline, he's always in tune to, you know, watching either when you're on or when you're off, and always, you know, going to the iPad and letting you know, like, hey, if you look here, I'm going to hit you, or if you do this way, like, expect it right now and stuff like that.
So Isaiah Likely met with the media over the weekend. It's News from the Nest, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Monday, and he's talking about developing more chemistry with Lamar Jackson here in 2024. And when Mark Andrews went down last year on that Thursday night against the Cincinnati Bengals, and let's revisit this again. Heading into that particular game, which the Ravens won 34-20, it's also the game Joe Burrow got hurt. It was out for the rest of the season there for the Cincinnati Bengals. Target share for Isaiah Likely. One catch, one target, week one. One catch, one target, week two. For 4 yards, 8 yards, he had, one catch for 20 yards in week three. No targets. Next two games, no targets. So 4 straight games and no targets. And I'm trying to think, and nothing's happening. I don't remember him being hurt last year, right? Just kind of not part of the offensive game plan at that time.
Right, no, he played in those games. There were offensive snaps, just very low usage.
And then, the 29th against Arizona, one catch, one target for 10 yards. Then he had 4 for 42 against Seattle in the blowout here. One catch for 5 yards against Cleveland. Then that Thursday night game against the Bengals, 2 targets, no catches. And then Mark Andrews got hurt. And then the next week against the Chargers, 4 catches for 40 yards. Then that thrilling overtime game against the Rams, 7 targets, 6 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Next week, Jacksonville, 6 targets, 5 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Then at San Francisco on Christmas, 3 catches for 56 yards, including a long of 34. How about against the Dolphins, the game in which Lamar pretty much clinched the Most Valuable Player award? 2 catches for 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then against the Steelers in the series for regular season finale, which the Ravens lost, but they had already clinched everything. He had 2 catches for a touchdown in that one. And then in the divisional round against Houston, 2 catches, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Bottom line is, when Andrews went down, he became an all-pro level dude. Andrews came back, AFC Championship game, 2 catches for 16 yards. And the one throw we remember is when Lamar tried to throw into triple coverage in the end zone, a pass that was eventually intercepted. So I think he and Lamar had a chemistry when Andrews wasn't there. And Nolan, the big question we've been asking, and Vinny and I and you have been talking about, and all the fans, Because it's not rocket science. I know people like to make football out to be this sort of rocket science level. It's not. Now that Andrews is back, is it going to be more Lamar to Mark, which they came in the league the same year? They've been tied to the hip. Now that Andrews is back, even if they are running a ton of two tight end sets, there's likely kind of, and then you have Zay Flowers. You get where I'm coming from here, you know?
Right. There's other mouths to feed, but just from a talent perspective, all right, I'll put Zay up there. I'll put Andrews up there. But behind those two, in terms of all of your receiving threats on this team, right now I'll confidently put likely number three, just with where we're at with Bateman and others behind him. So if likely in terms of talent is the third best pass catcher on this team, he needs to be involved. I mean, is he going to get the same targets that he got there at the end of last season? Probably not. But can you confidently carve out four targets for him a game? I think that's reasonable. I mean, 12 targets in 11 games, that simply can't happen again. And even if Andrews is all-pro Mark Andrews, sure, like he has been in the past, it's still good to give opposing defenses another look, another challenge to defend, so they can't key in on one receiver, one tight end, which that's kind of what it's been in the past for the Ravens when Marquise Brown was here. You key in on him, you key in on Andrews, you take them out. All right, where do you go in the pass game for the Ravens? They need to be a little more diverse.
And here's Isaiah likely talking about the possibility, probability, of falling to number two on the depth chart at tight end, if that really means anything this year.
Really just, you know, wiping the slate clean. I mean, knowing obviously the pros and cons of what I did to end off the year, but understanding that obviously what I did wasn't enough to get the ultimate goal. So coming back with the mentality of, you know, job not finished and attacking everything I did from the little details, so obviously the things I do well, even harder than before, and trying to, you know, be that piece, that leader on the offense to get everybody going.
And it goes back to, and we just talked about it, Nolan, you brought it up, you know, likely right now to me would be in target share. He'd be third behind Andrews, Flowers, or flip-flop those two, whatever you want to do. Then likely, it goes back to where Bateman fits into the equation then. So that's another topic altogether, which I get, but I think likely has earned the trust of Lamar Jackson, and it's going to be an incumbent on Todd Monken to figure out ways to get him open and to get, and for Lamar to get him the football.
Right. When we talk about just strictly the receivers, Zay, Bateman, balancing that, that's a whole different debate because there doesn't seem to be chemistry between Lamar and Bateman. This is completely different when you look at the tight ends, Andrews and Likely. Well, he's got chemistry with both of them. So, I mean, he's not going to take away targets from, you know, his guy, Mark Andrews, who's been his guy since they were both drafted in 2018. To feed Likely, it's going to have to be a balance, and I think this is solely on Todd Monken. Whereas with Bateman, it's a group effort, the three of them. When it comes to getting Likely more reps, that's solely a Todd Monken thing.
Now, in regards to Isaiah Likely, we know he's athletic. You know he can stretch the field and make plays catching the football. But his blocking leaves a lot to be desired. And here's Isaiah Likely talking about that criticism.
I want to get better inline blocking. That's definitely going to keep me on the field a lot more. But really just working on, you know, that first step, that hand placement, and really just, you know, strain. I mean, that's the one thing that I felt like as a blocker, it's more like your willingness. I mean, how much do you want it more for your person not to make the tackle for him rather than him make the play? So I feel like that's more of, you know, your want and your drive at the end of the day in the play. And I feel like that's something I'm going to show a lot more this year.
Yeah, it's a want to. It's like in basketball, defensive effort. I mean, you might be limited in some levels with quickness and, you know, lateral movement, et cetera, but if you're trying, I mean, you're still going to make things miserable for other people. Likely he's not lacking physical gifts, Nolan. So he wants to be a better blocker, and let's be honest, you don't want him to be a sieve over there, and you want him to help in the run game, but bottom line is, Isaiah Likely's making his money getting the ball down the field, catching it, not blocking for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'm no offensive expert, you know, I don't design plays, I don't call plays, but I would imagine that having your pass-catching tight ends have the capability to block as well would help you disguise some things. In the past, the Ravens have had guys that are dedicated pass catchers at tight end, and then they've had blocking specialists that have been here. Boyle comes to mind as he was your blocking tight end. It didn't hurt the Ravens offense when he was out there because he was such a good blocker. But I feel like if you're an opposing defense and you see an Andrews or a Likely coming off the field and a blocking specialist like Boyle coming in, well, we can probably make an educated guess here that this is going to be a run play. So having your pass catchers also have the blocking ability, now even more confusion for opposing defenses.
Yeah, so this is going to be fun to watch Todd Monken navigate this offense here in year number two. The offensive line is an area of concern, and rightfully so. We'll talk about that more when we get to NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. There was a trade in baseball today. Rangers send Michael Lorenzen to the Kansas City Royals in exchange for left-hander Walter Pennington. So Lorenzen, if I remember correctly, Dolan, and it's not always 100% sharp, weren't the Orioles and Lorenzen kind of connected last year? Then he went to Philly and threw a no-hitter or something like that. But anyway, he's leaving Texas as they're getting arms back healthy. He was deemed expendable, so he goes to Kansas City, where he actually is in a better spot standings-wise, or wild-card-wise, because Texas is there in the American League West. We'll get into the standings coming up in about an hour during the American League East report. What are the Orioles going to do? We'll keep you up to date on their trade deadline activity over the next day or so. Birds taking on the Blue Jays, 3:05. Doubleheader, traditional doubleheader. Second game, half hour after the first one, Eplin against Rodriguez. That's your starter. As soon as we get the lineup, we'll give it to you. But when we come back, let's count some dough, hopefully buy or sell. Bob Eddie Nolan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Girl, you're on the fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan here on this Monday. Vinny's off this week. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Got the American League East report next hour. Got Gabe Lax, USA Today. Talk about the trade deadline next hour. Orioles take it on the Blue Jays. Doubleheader, 3:05 first pitch. Get the lineups. We will share them with you. Got NFL lunch, too. Talk more about the Ravens as training camp week two is upon us. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. You want to complain about the Ravens and Orioles? Go ahead and complain. You want to get praise? We'll listen to that, too. Two of the best teams in their respective sports still chasing elusive championships. But right now, let's count that elusive money, hopefully, by ourselves. Sell.
All right, stock report today. S&P 500 is up $23.72. Under Armour down ever so slightly, just a penny. And DraftKings is also up. They're up 51 cents on the day. As far as our sports topics, we'll start with the Orioles' opponent this week, the Toronto Blue Jays. It's been a very, very rough season for them, and the bad news continued over the weekend when it was revealed that their top prospect, Ricky Tiedemann, will need to undergo Tommy John surgery. It's kind of been his MO since being drafted back in 2021. Even with the talent, his future remains very uncertain because he just hasn't been able to throw a lot of innings in any given season. And if you want to get a sense of where the Jays farm system is at as a whole, well, if this guy's your top dog, with all the injury concerns, I think that should speak to the overall quality of the rest of the farm. Which brings us to tomorrow's deadline, where Toronto had already been identified as sellers prior to this news. But, buy or sell, Bob, the Tiedemann injury will give Toronto that last push to fire sale in the next 24 hours.
Last push, I will soft buy. I think they're going to be open for business, not just trade for the sake of trading. And you talk about the prospects not panning out for them. Tiedemann with injuries. They traded Nate Pearson over the weekend to the Cubs, who at one time was their top pitching prospect. Kevin Biggio, he didn't pan out as a top-level guy. So, and they've had injuries to others as well. I think they're listening. I don't think they're just going to trade Vlad Jr. for the sake of trading him, but I don't think they'd be against it either.
A little college football news here. We know changes are coming to the postseason format, which means changes are coming to some of those staple New Year's Six bowl games. The Rose Bowl in particular is maybe the strongest tradition of any bowl game, and they're currently fighting to keep their spot as a New Year's afternoon affair with that afternoon time slot as well, because the way they see it, the parade, all the pageantry surrounding the game is viewed by them as being almost as essential as the game itself. This would mean that they'd be serving as a quarterfinal college football playoff game instead of a semifinal game moving down in the next couple years. But buy or sell, Bob, the Rose Bowl should maintain its tradition despite playoff changes.
Yeah, I'll buy it, but they won't. I mean, let's be honest. This whole tradition of bowl games has been out the window for a while. Go old man on you, Nolan. NBC on New Year's Day. It used to be the Fiesta Bowl. It was the Orange. Well, the Rose Bowl was always there with the Orange Bowl wrapping up the festivities for them on their night. So that's long gone. ESPN has taken over basically as the de facto home of all of your bowl games and playoffs. Fox gets a crumb here. CBS will get a crumb there. But, you know, NBC used to be. Hey, you know, Keith Jackson, I believe, dubbed it the granddaddy of them all, even though it was on NBC for a long time, then moved to ABC. But long-winded way, it's over. Tradition, no, it's that's done. Used to be nice, not anymore.
Well, we'll move over to the NFL, where it's that time of year. Preseason action going to begin later this week, which means the debates around which starters need to play versus which starters need to rest, that's going to begin as well. Out in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins, he's been cleared to practice and is pushing with his new head coach for some reps here in the Falcons' first preseason game. But the new coach there, Morris, apparently shot it down, said he was very adamant about Cousins not playing in the preseason. Now, that's kind of the norm these days. Most quarterbacks seem to go without reps in the exhibition action, but we do see from time to time big names, Patrick Mahomes, make a push to play in the preseason and even preach the importance it has for them. Buy or sell, Bob, Morris is making the right decision, even if it may frustrate his new quarterback.
100% buy. Isn't he coming off a torn Achilles? And I know when Cousins met with the media, he ran down the list of famous people that had suffered the torn Achilles tendon. Nah, no way I'm playing him in the preseason. And I get Mahomes does it. And, you know, Andy Reid thinks like himself. And that's why he's going to the Hall of Fame with multiple championships. If Lamar Jackson played in the preseason, are we going to be cool with that? Absolutely not. Sean McVay started this whole in earnest starters not even sniffing the field during the preseason because the risk is much greater than the reward. I mean, all it takes is, you know, torn Achilles, you step wrong, and bam, Gonzo. Nah, do not play him in the preseason. Raheem Morris. Not that I care about the Falcons in any way, shape, or form, with all due respect.
All right, one more story here. The Milwaukee Brewers, their bullpen got a huge boost over the weekend with Devin Williams making his long-awaited season debut. You remember back in spring training, everything was good until it revealed that he had some stress fractures in his back, and that delayed his start to the year significantly. But he appeared to pick up where he left off through a scoreless inning on Sunday. And Milwaukee, with all their concerns in the pitching department, the fact that they've been able to maintain a lead on top of the NL Central, a comfortable lead at that, very impressive. This is essentially a deadline addition for them, getting Williams back. But buy or sell, Bob, a healthy Devin Williams makes the Brewers a true World Series contender.
I'll buy that. Now, the Christian Yelich injury is something that might change that whole thing as he's gone down. I believe it's a back issue for him, too. Those tricky backs, man, I speak from experience, could change things. But Philly's the team to beat, I'm guessing, in the National League, especially with Austin Hayes. The Dodgers, you know they're going to be aggressive and try to add over the next 24 hours or so. But I would not sleep on the Brewers at all. So Devin Williams at least makes their pitching World Series capable. We'll see what the lineup will do for them as well. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to vent about the Orioles? About to have their first losing full month. They went 2-3 in October of 2022, but their first full losing month since September of that same season could be upon them unless they sweep the Blue Jays. Four-game series that starts at 3:05. You want to voice your concerns with the Ravens? That offensive line, yet to be settled. Doesn't sound like anything is going to be resolved anytime soon. And how does Isaiah Likely coexist with Mark Andrews as Lamar Jackson looks to feed a lot of people who are hungry for footballs? So we got that and more coming up. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan. Ryan Mountcastle, subject of trade rumors. He's cleaning up at first base. Had four ribbies yesterday. Ryan O'Hearn is in right field today. Game one, that is, batting fifth. Jordan Westberg's at second base, batting sixth. Cedric Mullins, what's old Mullins, six ribbies in his last two games. Center field batting seventh. Ramon Urias batting eighth at third base. He had a rough go of it with the glove on Saturday. And then James McCann is behind the dish batting ninth, glaring in his absence second straight day out of the starting lineup. Nolan McGraw is not Ryan Mountcastle. Adley Rutschman.
Right. Well, I'm assuming he'll be playing game two. I'll make an educated guess there, but
Earl Weaver.
Yes. Little interesting, yeah. How often do you see Adley out for back-to-back games when he's not injured? That's interesting. And I don't know about having Arias in there. I mean, quite frankly, I've liked what I've seen from Connor Norby offensively and defensively. You know, why not continue to let him get some run at second base? You keep Westberg at third. Good defense all around there in your infield. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like Arias' time may be coming to an end with this team, because if you're not going to play every day, right, your opportunities to produce offensively, we understand they're limited, but you got to be able to uphold that strong defense. And Arias, whether, you know, it was the most warranted award in history or not, he does have a gold glove on his resume. So right. You can't be a former gold glove winner and do what he did over the weekend with the poor communication with Gunner.
Now, I'll give you an idea of, speaking of Adley Rutschman, what his struggles have been like. In July, he's hitting .132 with a .498 OPS. Two homers. Going back 30 days, his last 74 at-bats, sitting 122. His on-base percentage is 270. Now, he's coming off a June in which he hit 290, OPS almost 8.5, 5 homers, 18 ribbies, walked 17 times. Talk about a guy that is struggling. A little Joe Namath there for you. It's Adley Rutschman, big time. I mean, he looks kind of clueless at the plate. Now, he's splits or heavy right-handed hitter in his favor, or versus lefties. He's hitting 360, only 222 from the left side against right-handed pitchers. But this is a prolonged slump throughout a full calendar month, basically, right now, Nolan McGraw.
Well, we've seen everyone in this lineup, at least at some point this year, have a month that is really just kind of abysmal, quite frankly. I'm waiting to see when, if at all possible, they can get Gunnar Henderson a day off. I mean, I'm not begging for him to be out of the lineup because, you know, he's talented and came back, had a single yesterday. But, you know, he definitely looks like he could use a day. Hyde even acknowledged as much. But as we've heard from guest Andy Koska earlier in the show, you know, not having Jorge Mateo complicates things because that was your natural replacement at shortstop. We'll see how much they trust Westberg to play there and probably in the coming days get Henderson a day.
And it doesn't sound like Jackson Holliday is going to be coming up to play shortstop anytime soon, as he's kind of entrenched now second base there down on the farm. But look, for a guy that has struggled in the month of July, Henderson's hitting 264 with a 710 OPS, but only 2 home runs. Hell, he sucked at the home run derby, hitting the home run. So the home run bat's kind of been in sleepy time here as of late. I think the bigger concern is the fact that his defense has really been shaky, and it's booted balls, it's lack of communication, rat style in the outfield with the pop-ups and the errant throws. I mean, he's been airmailing a lot of things. He had yesterday, and we talked about it, Nolan, opening of the show, he had kind of the Gunner day. He made 2 spectacular plays defensively, one on the pop-up where Mullins was sliding and he like kind of scooped it with the glove, and then the play throwing from his ass, and then he 2 throwing errors, booted one in the 9th. I mean, he was all over the place. He was checking every defensive box, good and bad, yesterday at Camden Yards.
Maybe I'm alone with this, but the lack of power for him, not a huge concern. I mean, it's not like it completely disappeared. You'd like to see more than 2 in a month, but I mean, isn't this the same fan base that's been crying about how the Orioles can only score if they hit home runs?
Right.
I mean, if he's just, you know, cold across the board, yeah, sure, you know, complain about that. But if he's still producing offensively just with a drop in power, I mean, that's not the end of the world here.
What do you think about old Mountcastle being the subject of trade rumors here?
I mean, he's a guy I've advocated for keeping in the past. Depending on what you could get for him, I wouldn't be opposed to it. You start dumping some of these veteran players, it clears up more defined roles for some of the younger guys who have been resorted to platoon roles throughout the season. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but get rid of too many of them, and now you're fully locked into your young guys. And, you know, Colton Cowser, look at him as an example. We'd like to see him get more play time this year, where, you know, he's kind of had to swap in and out with Hayes at times, but with how cold he was for a good couple months stretch, now you're committed to him full time. So when he goes cold, that's your guy. You're riding it out. So in the past, when somebody went cold, you could throw another name in there, but it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Has there been a guy, before we hit a break here, Nolan, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fave. Vinny's off this week, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, that has been affected adversely by Baltimore more than Ryan Mountcastle last couple of years? He has 1 home run in July, by the way.
Yeah, no chance. I mean, he's your big right-handed power bat. I think he's obvious case of most impacted. And I thought even with that he could be a guy that hits you 25. Just doing all the damage on the road, and heck, he'll still hit one over the wall every now and then. But yeah, the power's really taken a step back, and that might be something that Elias looks at and says, you know what, we value that power, and you can't be strictly left-handed in your lineup, but if that's going to be a detriment to him, then maybe we can afford to deal him.
And a real quick, Colton Cowser, after a shaky May, June offensively, he's bounced back nicely in July, hitting .286, hitting the ball with a little more authority, and now looks to be entrenched in the outfield, and depending on what happens with Cedric Mullins over the next day or so, might be your everyday center fielder in the final couple months of the season.
Who knows? Batting leadoff the past couple days, that's interesting. But yeah, just him actually being a contributor is huge, because like I said, there was a couple month stretch there where, I mean, his bat was just...
He was hitting below 200 for 2 months.
Might as well have an eight-man lineup and just automatic out for your ninth spot.
When we come back, how about a funhouse trip since we couldn't get to it last hour, Nolan McGraw. Then we got the NFL lunch coming your way at 1 o'clock. Talk some more Ravens there. American League East report. Look at the scores over the weekend. Look at the standings. And then look at the stat breakdown between the Orioles and the Blue Jays. And then Gabe Lax, USA Today. We'll talk trade deadline with him coming up at 1:30. It's Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on 105.7 The Fan.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, start here with Howard in Baltimore. Says, getting some credible veteran presence on this team is needed. They cannot keep relying on the potential of the young guys. Time to shake things up, make a big trade. This team needs a reset. They're only one or two injuries away from a free fall in the pennant race.
Well, we saw what the injuries have done to the starting rotation, and it has not been good. And they've had to mix and match and make do with what they have. And Albert Suarez probably deserved a better fate yesterday. I mean, he has been kind of a godsend to them, but might be best suited to pitch out of the bullpen. But a big trade means what? I mean, the big trade by definition is you get Tarek Skubal from Detroit. I don't know if they're going to swing that big, Nolan, but I think they still have something up their sleeve before tomorrow. What's it, 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock?
6 tomorrow? O'clock.
6 yep. O'clock tomorrow afternoon, or night, whatever.
Another text here from Chris says, I'm not going to complain about the poor month of July for the Orioles. This is the time to get the slumps out of your system and prepare for a title run. Thankfully, still in first place. That's all that matters to me. A lot of distractions come with the All-Star game and the trade deadline. I'm not going to panic.
I'm not panicking either. I'm a little frustrated with the fact. Keep in mind, I'm just speaking as a fan. Yes, we're supposed to be unbiased, but we're born and raised in Baltimore. We're fans. The fact that they haven't extended the lead in the American League East and we're coming up in the final couple of days of July, only a game ahead of the Yankees. And as we talked about, Nolan, with Andy Koska last hour, look, everything's sucking at once. It can't continue this way for another 2 months. Sooner or later, they're going to start to hit. They're going to start to hit for power. The defense is going to tighten up a little bit. But Craig Kimbrell, that situation back into the bullpen, I think it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the concern is that they're losing in such uncharacteristic ways. Again, the defense being so shaky over the past couple weeks, that's not them at all. They pride themselves for so long here on their defense. To make the kind of mistakes they've made, it's extremely puzzling.
Yeah, and Mountcastle, look, I know it's asking a lot to be able to scoop every single throw. But the throw Friday night that Gunnar made on the Manny ground ball. Mountcastle usually makes that play 9 out of 10 times. He didn't. And I think Profar went deep. And that was kind of all she wrote for that one, even though the Orioles did come back and tie it, et cetera, et cetera. But yes.
This next texter probably is panicking. Uh-oh. Says the team is in trouble. Henderson got too full of himself during the All-Star break with his cowboy outfit and Scooby-Doo bat. I bet he doesn't get to 35 home runs at this point.
Oh, my.
The team chemistry overall is horrible right now. They're going to go into a tailspin, and the half-assed trades they've made so far won't be enough to stop it.
Yeah, I would say that texter is panicking just a little bit. They're in their tailspin right now because they can't get... This is about as bad I would think it's going to get for the Orioles here. So starting today, maybe they could straighten out some of these fundamental flaws that have affected this team in the month of July, where they've been actually pretty bad so far this month, especially lately.
Yeah, how about a complete game You know, even when they win last Thursday, all the drama in the finish. Yeah, when they win yesterday, all the drama in the finish.
Yeah, you were off Friday, but we were talking about it during that first hour of the show. I mean, even Hyde after the talking about the last Marlins game, like they lost.
Mm-hmm.
They blew a 6-0 lead, and Kimbrel, you know, the defense again didn't do him any favors. But we were talking Friday like they had just lost 17-2 instead of one to avoid the sweep. I guess that was the problem, too, avoiding the sweep against the team that was in last place heading into that series.
Those NL teams, man. Something about them.
Yeah, just stay away from the NL Central if you get to the World Series. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. We got NFL lunch coming your way. More American League East talk. We'll look at the standings. We'll look at the scores yesterday. And we'll compare the Orioles and Blue Jays statistically. And we'll give you the lineups as well. Gabe Lax, USA Today. Talk some baseball with him. Trade deadline tomorrow at 6. Orioles aren't done yet, are they?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.